Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that it is the Lord who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. God is good, and certainly he's worthy to be praised. God has blessed us immeasurably and beyond our prayers, and we thank him for another day's journey. And it's good to be alive, alert, and active, for it is in him we live, move, and have our being. God has revealed and manifests himself as mighty and miraculous in our lives, and certainly we ought to be glad about it. What a joy it is to share this virtual space with you through the media ministry and those that are here, Deacon McLean, Brother Joe Evans, and Reverend David McCoy. We thank God for their presence, and we thank God for all of you, and we give God praise for allowing us to see this day in this significant moment, this significant time that he has granted us to share in the study of his holy word. We want to continue with our study in the book of Matthew's, or the gospel of Matthew's, Matthew's chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Matthew's chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Let us read that again. Verse 32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Let me read it through the New Living Translation. I like how the New Living Translation words this particular pericope or two verses. It says, when a person stands before other people and says he believes in me, then I will say that person belongs to me. I will say this before my Father in heaven. But when a person stands before people and says he does not believe in me, then I will say that person does not belong to me. I will say this before my Father in heaven. Amen. Matthew chapter 10 concerns Jesus' instructions to his disciples as he sent them out to carry his teaching forward. They were to go preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The disciples were endowed with power, the power of Jesus Christ, to be his witnesses. That's important for us to understand the reason we are given power. We are given power to be his witnesses. Not only is this stated in Matthew chapter 10, but we also see it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said to his disciples, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth. They were to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were given the power of Jesus. And no demon, not even Satan himself, could stand against them, since they were representatives of Jesus Christ. Jesus sent them out among people who hated him. The hatred for Jesus was so grievous that the people that hated Jesus was likened unto wolves, grievous wolves. The people who hated Jesus hated his followers and messengers. Therefore, Jesus warned the apostles of the harsh treatment, the maltreatment they would experience as his representatives. The apostles were not to expect better treatment than Jesus received, nor should they ask exemption from what Jesus himself suffered. Jesus warned them that many will be resistant. After all, some people were accusing Jesus himself of being in league with the devil. So they would surely react even strongly against his disciples. They were warned, they were cautioned about the response of the people, that they were to expect rejection. They were to expect maltreatment, harsh treatment from Jesus's enemies. Verses 26 through 31, the apostles were cautioned of fear, that fear is a controlling factor like faith. We are told in the Word of God not to fear. Matter of fact, Paul said to his son in the ministry, Timothy, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. That fear is against faith. And so they were cautioned, the apostles, Jesus's followers, they were cautioned of fear. Jesus says, "Don't fear man, who can only destroy the body. Fear God, who can destroy the soul and body in hell, in Gehenna." It is not hellfire we are to fear, but we are to fear God. We are to have a reverential fear of God. We are to respect God. We are to keep God high and lifted. He's holy. He's in heaven. Matter of fact, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them the pattern of prayer. He says, when you pray, say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Set apart, consecrated is your name." He's in heaven, and heaven is above earth. We are to fear God, have respect for God. We are to reverence God. So the love of God redeems from slavishness fear. Slavishness, fear. We are not to fear like a slave fears his master. It's a love relationship. So he said to the disciples, to the apostles, that they were not to fear man, that man can only destroy the body, but God can destroy the soul and body. Fear of man affects faithfulness in evangelism. Let me say that again. Fear of man affects faithfulness in evangelism. Do not fear men. Only walk in the fear of the Lord. Here it is. Jesus is instructing his disciples. He's sending them out. And he's, in these two verses, revealing to them the importance of them keeping their faith and their confession of him. That they are to confess him before men. Our confession of Jesus is to be made before others. If we become fearful and refuse to make this confession of Jesus before the enemies of Christ, we will fail to be his disciples. They were to keep their faith in him and to keep their confession of him before men. Two things I want you to notice in verses 32 and 33. First of all, notice the reward for open confession. The reward for open confession. Verse 32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." There's a reward attached, but let me deal with confession first. The word confess means to publicly acknowledge, to confess in a person's name. It conveys the thought of confessing allegiance to Christ as one's master and Lord, and on the other hand, of acknowledgement on his part of a faithful one as being his worshiper and servant, his loyal follower. Let me say that again. The word confess means to publicly acknowledge, to confess in a person's name. It conveys the thought of confessing allegiance to Christ as one's master and Lord, and on the other hand, of acknowledgement on his part of a faithful one as being his worshiper and servant, his loyal follower. So to confess Christ means to publicly acknowledge Christ and to tell the truth of Christ as to what Christ means to you. So confession of Christ by the apostles were to be done through public preaching of the gospel. The apostles had to openly and boldly acknowledge and declare that Christ is truly God, the eternal Son of God, the only mediator between God and men, the Savior and Redeemer of lost sinners, through whose blood atoned is the forgiveness of sin. So to confess Christ is to tell the truth of Christ openly. It is to tell the truth of the person and work of Christ. Who is Christ? What has Christ done for you? Jesus says we should be willing to openly say to others who he is and what he has done. So our confession of Christ should be made before others, public. Our confession of Christ should be made before others. Open confession, public confession should be made in spite of the rage and opposition from non-believers. Paul is a chief example of this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, "For this reason I suffered these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day." Paul acknowledged Christ before men regardless the rage and opposition from non-believers. The world is mad. The world hates the name Christ. The world hates talk of Christ and the preaching of Christ. Preaching of the cross of Christ. The world despises and shuns preaching of Christ. But as blood-bought believers, as children of the Most High, as brothers of Jesus Christ and sisters of Jesus Christ, we should be willing to publicly acknowledge who he is and what he has done. There's a necessity of public confession. We are to confess Christ before believers and non-believers. Now, several things about confessing Christ. Number one, confessing Christ is the very thing that helps us realize our sinful condition. It is a confession of our dependence on Christ for salvation. Before you can be assured of salvation, you must understand your condition from God's perspective. From God's perspective, we are not good. You know, we want to claim being good. I'm good. And most of the time we compare ourselves to other people and we see ourselves as good. We're like the Pharisee who looked upon the publican in the temple and said, "God, I thank you that I'm not as he is." We see ourselves as good. But from God's perspective, we're not good. We are in need of a Savior. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. It says, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." All of us in the same shape, in the same boat. All of us have to claim the truth of the scripture that without Christ, there's no good in us. Isaiah 64:6, Isaiah says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garments." Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, in Jeremiah 17:6, says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Isn't that something? We don't know our own condition. We don't know the condition of our own heart. We're so messed up that we don't know the condition of our own hearts. So when we confess Christ, what it is a public confession, a public acknowledgement of our dependence on Christ for salvation. Listen, this is not an easy truth. For most people, the truth of the Bible concerning their condition is unaccepted. The reality is that there is nothing in us and about us we can acknowledge and confess to save ourselves. There is no good works that we can do to remedy our sinful condition or to render our souls saved. We have no ability in and of ourselves to save ourselves. So to confess Christ is to admit that the power of God's grace alone saves. I can settle with that. I can rejoice in that. That the power of God's grace alone saves. That's music to my soul. That the power of God's grace alone saves. And it is out of our confession of Jesus Christ that we confess to the world who we are in Christ. We are made right in Christ. Whew. My confession of Christ is the very thing that helps me realize my sinful condition and how much I am in need of Christ. But not only do I see the confession of Christ is the very thing that helps us realize our sinful condition, but then notice, confess Christ with your mouth. Confess Christ with your mouth. It says, when a person stands before other people and says he believe in me, then will I say that person belongs to me. So we are to confess Christ with our mouth. Our mouths. Paul in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice, Paul puts with confessing with the mouth, believing in the heart. That there is something that takes place, transpire on the inside. There has to be believing in the heart for what you say out of your mouth to matter. That if your heart and mouth is not aligned, if they are not aligned, what you say out of the mouth doesn't matter. It's deeper than just saying. If I had time, and I'll get to it in a minute, I would really deal with Matthew 7 when Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So it's more than just calling his name. Because to believe, it's more than just verbiage, something you say. But now, understand, Jesus says we are to confess him with our mouths. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believes with thine heart, thou mayest, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed with his mouth what he believed in his heart. Not only does the heart dictate the mouth, but the heart also dictates the actions. So there's a confession of Christ with the mouth, but then there's a confession of Christ through our actions. If you say you believe, and if you believe in your heart, there will be evidence in your life. Whenever a supernatural power, like the Holy Spirit, comes to live within a natural man, you should expect to see supernatural occurrences. You ought to see God with that person. You know, as the church of old would say, he walked with me and he talked with me. You ought to be able to see that in the actions. So confession is the acknowledgement of Christ. And as Christians, Christ should be acknowledged in and through our actions. In other words, we should live our confession. Get that in your spirit. You should live your confession. We either confess Christ or deny Christ in the way we act. There ought to be some evidence. There ought to be some proof. There ought to be some change in your life. There ought to be some alterations that have transpired and are transpiring, are happening in your life. Jesus attaches to the confession of him publicly this reward, the reward of being owned by him, acknowledged by him, declared by him in his Father's presence. Listen to him, if you will. New Living Translation. He says, when a person stands before other people and says he believes in me, then I will say that person belongs to me. Boy, that's something. For Jesus to say to his Father, you belong to him. I belong to him. We belong to him. He says, I will say this before my Father in heaven. In other words, he's going to own you. He's going to claim you. He's going to declare you and acknowledge you as his. Oh, that's good news. Listen, if we confess him before the world, he will confess us before his Father in heaven. Jesus will acknowledge us, declare us before his Father. Listen to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He's going to claim me. All of the
trouble that I'm having and all of the difficulties that I'm experiencing in life, because I publicly acknowledge him as my Lord and Savior, he's going to publicly acknowledge me before his Father and all of the angelic hosts of heaven that I'm his. I belong to him. And that acknowledgement is acceptance. That acknowledgement is our right to stay in heaven with God throughout eternity. That's a reward. I can go through some things in the earth knowing that greater is later. I can go through some things for Jesus' namesake in the earth, because when I get before God, when I stand before him in heaven and before all of the angelic hosts, Jesus is going to call my name and say, I belong to him. And all that you are going through, and all that you are suffering, and all that you are experiencing, the maltreatment, and all of the mistreatment, and all that you are experiencing in your life, the bad that seems unbearable, we can bear it because there's a reward that awaits us in his Father's presence. That in his Father's presence, he's going to say, we belong to him. That's our admittance into heaven, to stay all eternity, throughout all eternity, with God in heaven. I don't think there's anything in earth suffering that I can suffer that will make me give up my eternal position in heaven. I want to hear him say, he's mine. He owned me in the earth. He's mine. I want to hear him say that. He had some hard times, but he's mine. He had a tough go at it, but he's mine. Because in the midst of it all, he never denied me before men. Jesus not only deals with the reward of open confession, he deals with the recompense of open denial. Verse 33, he said in the King James Version, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. He said in the New Living Translation, but when a person stands before people and says he does not believe in me, then I will say that person does not belong to me. I will say this before my Father in heaven. The recompense to deny means to fail to take a stand for him. Jesus will deny that person before his Father. Now understand, Jesus will deny that they, the persons who deny him, he will deny that they belong to him. He will also deny that he ever knew them. Matthew chapter 7, here we are. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, verses 21 through 23 says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, the recompense of denial is dismissal. He will dismiss you from the presence of his Father. Because if acknowledgement is admittance, denial is dismissal. He will send you away. He will say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Because listen, to deny Christ is to deny his righteousness. But to accept Christ is to be made right in him. And that righteousness will stand before God. It's imputed. It's given into our account. Whew. There's no right of my own I can give that will give me the right to stand before God. But there is righteousness and right I can accept that will allow me to stand before God and remain in his presence throughout eternity. Jesus says the recompense of denial is dismissal. If you're too ashamed to make known the truth of God, the truth of Jesus Christ, his person, who he is, and his works, what he has done, then he said he will be ashamed of you before his Father in heaven. Listen, that's a word for us. That's why we should go and preach, carry the word of Christ, have a conviction in our heart about the atoning work of Christ on Calvary. That Christ came as God's only behaved and begotten Son. He came as the Messiah, the mediator between God and man. He came as a bridge over our troubled waters to give us access to God. And I'm not ashamed to acknowledge publicly that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. There are no other ways. He's the only way. And only Jesus can declare, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can go unto the Father except he goes through Jesus Christ. And that way through Christ is to confess Christ. Believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, you shall be saved. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word will settle in the hearts and minds of your people and transform life. We pray that your word touch, Lord, and give courage to those who are timid and nervous to own you before men and women. Your God, your Son Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. Help us, O Father, open doors that we can declare your truth everywhere, that Jesus is the Christ. He is the resurrected one. He is our kinsman redeemer.
He's our salvation. He's our open door. He's our eternal stay. We are in Him. Thank you for salvation. Bless this church. Bless every soul that will tune in to this word and accept it as your truth, that we're not good, but we're made right through Christ and Christ alone. Thank you for righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. You all be blessed. Listen, a few announcements before we go. Remember registration for Sunday service. It was open Sunday at 5, Sunday evening at 5. It will close Friday at 3. Was it Sunday at 3? And it will end Friday, I think Sunday at 3, excuse me. And it will end Friday at 5. So make sure you register to be a part of our service. And then listen, we do ask that you be in prayer for Brother Law and his family. He's having to go through another procedure. And his family, his wife and daughter they were in an accident, car accident. So pray for them as well. Pray for Deacon Lee. He had a surgery on last week. He's at home recovering. Pray for him. Listen, continue to pray for the entire New Bethlehem family. Pray for our community. Pray for your pastor. I need your prayers. Pray for our leadership, our deacons and trustees and members of our church. Pray for everybody. Pray for our Wednesday morning. Anticipating a great time in the morning with waking up on Wednesday morning with the word. Listen, you want to be a part of it. So tune in 5 a.m. 5 a.m. We're talking about stretch time, waking up, stretching in the morning to get the word. God said if you want it, seek him early, early in the morning. So I'm excited about that. Listen, we have been having wonderful services. We have in person, we still have virtual, and listen, we still the church, and we love every last one of you to life. So live on top and keep looking up is our prayer. Be blessed.